Poro, Olmo, the return, Pedro Poro!
John Strong, my favorite. Spain 2, France 0.
Oof.
It's been a good ride. I'm not officially resigning from this pool, but you know, listen to me. Like, I rationalize every loss, favorite teams, bets, fantasy team. Like, this is why. Of course, this is going to happen. I'm not ready to go that far because France was the favorite, and the game is not over. But to win in Survivor, you play in football Survivor pools, maybe, where you've got to pick a winner every week. I mean, you have to dodge a lot of bullets. You have to win, to use another cliche, a lot of coin flips. And there's just no other way to do it. So I've been lucky so far, and maybe it's about to break. Spain 2, France nothing. 72nd minute. There you go. There's your soccer update from me, Mr. Soccer. Here's Zach with me. Hi, Zach.
Hey, Mike. Nice talking to you here.
You too. Uh-oh, I can't hear you. Try me again. Bad connection. Soccer is the one sport where, more than any other sport, a call gets made by the referee and both teams are mad. You don't really get that in the NFL. A call is made, one team is mad, not two. But so many times you watch a soccer game and there was, like, you know, there's some sort of a collision and call for a free kick. But the team that was, if you will, victimized thinks it should have been a card. So they're mad that it isn't a card. And the first team, you know, or the team, right, the first team is mad that it wasn't a card. The second team is mad that it was anything, that it was even a foul. So you have so many times in a soccer game where the camera goes to the referee and players from both teams are screaming at him. That can't be fun. How do I win here as a ref? If I make a call and both teams are upset, you throw your hands up. Like, I kind of just did. Like, what do I do? Baseball. Here's the play at second. Safe. Well, the second baseman's mad because he thinks he tagged them. The base runner is not. He's happy with it. And I roll my eyes a lot at these youth games that I go to because people just cannot be objective. Not everybody, but a lot of people just cannot be objective. I was standing next to parents at this last game I was at in Delaware on Saturday, and I've got parents from each team, my son's team and the other, on each side of me. And it's just like absolutely not even flexible in the slightest if there's a call that goes against your kid's team. It's just not even, I don't know, I just can't relate to it. I want my son's team to win. These are my friends. This is my group. But if it's a foul, it's a foul, probably. If it's a slash to the head, it's a slash to the head. Like, we really don't have to try so hard to defend our guys. And if I'm an official, you're not helping because a piece of me wants to turn that back on you on the sideline. If you're going to complain about what I think was an obvious infraction by your team, I would probably have a tough... I mean, I used to be an umpire. I would admit to having a tough time not being biased against the team whose parents are just ragging on me for calls that I know were right. Like, just... you're only saying that because it's your kid. I mean, good for you for being a proud dad, but come on. But soccer, though, these plays... both teams are mad at the ref for the same thing. No other sport maybe has that. I don't know. Steve is here. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, Shope? Thank you for your time, sir.
You're welcome.
So I got a question. I've been listening to a lot of Joe's podcast, Locked on Sabres. And
are they good?
I kind of get this. Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right, cool. Good for him.
Yeah. No, and you know, it kind of sparked my mind about how absolutely similar this feels, where the Sabres have all these pieces and they also lost a lot of key pieces. It's very similar to what happened with the 2016 Bills, 2017, where we had this turnover and everyone's getting traded and we're wondering, well, okay, we made it back to the playoffs, right? Like, are we actually looking at a 2 to 3 year mini rebuild? and we believe, hey, we still got Tage, we still got Dahlin, and we can just sneak into the playoffs here and there. But the goal is to get to that point where you're just an absolute powerhouse. Because you knew the Tuck deadline was coming. You knew the Bo Byram deadline was coming. And here we are. We're sitting here and we're trying to figure it all out. I don't know if I'm sold on this idea, is what I'm getting at, of, yeah, it's Stanley Cup or bust this year and the next year. I feel like it's going to be – we really got to push for the third year from now because of all the young talent we have. What do you think about that?
I don't think in hockey it can really necessarily ever be Stanley Cup or bust. It's too hard. I think in the NFL, by contrast, Steve, I would say NFL, you get to the one seed, like you sort of run things in your conference and get to the one, and then you have two home games to win, and then you're there. You're in the championship round. Like two home games after a bye, which is a big benefit, two home games to win against teams that didn't play as well as you, and then you're there. Hockey is just too hard. It's just way harder to really think in terms of the Stanley Cup. I mean, think about these great teams. I mean, Colorado this year was for what? 3/4 of the season, 2/3 of the season was all-time good. And the season is so long, and then you get in and teams you're playing against are not that much worse. They're kind of on your level and you get a bounce against you and you're out. So I don't think of the Sabres in terms of Stanley Cup or bust. I think they're in a great spot. I don't think there's really been that much turnover. And I kind of still think there's a big shoe left to drop with them, but I don't have to be right. So what I would want for my team, Bills, Sabres, whoever, is to be set up to be a contender for years to come. And the Bills are that, and the Sabres are set up to be that.
I guess it's when Joe says, oh, like losing Tuck, I would have gone the other way. Like I was always on the boat of re-signing him because you're basically trying to fill in the gap with three other players. It's like, well, you're also playing the game of age, you know, and speed and the lack thereof, you know, the talent that we needed really badly to show up in that last round of the playoffs when Tage was non-existent because
you needed Tuck to do that. You needed Tuck for that, actually.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. He just disappears. But that's kind of where I have this differentiating view of, okay, like we just need to completely move on. Obviously, we have no choice, right?
Well, what do you want them to do?
Well, I want the Sabres to just have a convincing 3-year plan. Like, hey, we're going to have all the talent in the world for the next couple of years that we need to develop and just stay competitive. But in the third or fourth year from now, I mean, see them in the Stanley Cup, but not sneak in, right? Like we're hitting game sevens or no, like we need a win series that you're just a convincing playoff contender, you know, kind of like, I hate to use this analogy all the time. Cause you know, being a Buffalo fan, you're like, oh, let's talk about the Bills too, to give the contrast. But it's like, it really is kind of the same. And that's why everyone's disappointed with how the Bills have turned out. It's because you have all this talent and you have had plenty of talent to make it to that next step, but they constructed that over a couple of years and they knew it was going to be 3 to 4 years from when Josh Allen started to pop off that everything was going to start gelling. And I feel like we're in that window, but we still have way more time because hockey is a completely different game.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Thank you, Steve. I am not somebody who feels like you have to ramp up to win. A lot of times teams win and they did not ramp up. And then you have teams in hockey like Carolina that have kind of been about as good for 10 years in a row. And then they got there. That's what you want to have happen with the Bills is like one of these years it breaks for them. The best you can do, I think, in any sport is to build the foundation and get to the playoffs and take your chances. And you hope for the right matchups. You hope for the bye week. You hope for the bounces. There's only so much of that, though, that you can control. So I don't think of the Sabres as a team that's like, okay, well, maybe this year they can take another step but then lose. I mean, they were in the final, among the final five teams playing. Any team in that situation has to be thinking about the top. And I believe that they are. I mean, to say that I need to see that there's a 3 or 4 year plan, first of all, we have no idea that there isn't one. And I mean, there probably are these discussions internally. And I mean, I think it's sort of like, it's kind of self-evident. I mean, you have a Sabres team that's really young or in its prime. Most, if not all, of their key men are now, especially with Tuck gone, are not age. They're not age concerns about them. So you've got a good thing. I think what needs to happen, or we'd want to have happen here before the season starts, is a big fish, is some sort of catch that makes it more believable that they can repeat last year. And then, you know, get to the playoffs and see what happens. I mean, you're playing a 99-point team in the first round, or 100. You're playing a 106-point team in the second round. How much can you expect to necessarily go your way? I mean, even the Boston series was close. So, I don't know. That's all I want to do. I want to be good enough where I can confidently expect to get in. And then after that, hopefully I'm not injured. Hopefully I'm playing a team that doesn't have a hot goalie. I mean, I can't really control that. Football, it's the one seed is such a game changer versus hockey. I mean, imagine it would have been Carolina, I guess, in the East, but somehow if the team with the most points in the conference got the first round off. I mean, what an advantage. Rest versus rust. Sure, let me find out. Give me 2 weeks off before the season. Actually, who was it that actually kind of got that? Was it Carol? It was Carolina. As the playoffs went on, they crushed Philadelphia in the second round and had to wait around for Montreal, Buffalo to get Montreal. And there was like a long break. Well, how did it go? They crushed Montreal too. Like, just it's different in that way. One thing about it, one of many, many perhaps that are different in terms of the formats. I think the Sabres are fine. I'd like for them, from two standpoints, one for their outlook as a cup contender, a possible cup winner, and two, which is not nothing to me, if I were to run the Sabres, this wouldn't be irrelevant, is a star power piece that would further energize an already awakened and excited fan base. And that's Hellebuck. If it's not Dylan Larkin or someone else, I mean, it's Hellebuck for sure. We would argue about if he's too old, but we wouldn't really want to argue about it. We'd kind of want to wrap that up quickly and enjoy one of the absolute rare moments in Buffalo sports history where one of our teams was able to attract a player of his status in the league. And they're not getting him through free agency. I mean, the Sabres, if not also the Bills, are never signing the biggest stars in their sports when they become free agents. This is the only way to do it. You could draft them, but the only way you get a superstar, if you're Buffalo, is to trade for him. And I think that might be possible here, and I've come around to liking the idea. Thank you, Steve. Lines open for you at 803-0550. I'm Mike Shope. This is WGR.